The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Family Sanity with your host, Dr. Brian Stress. When you or a loved one are facing life's challenges, this hour could be your lifeline to understanding and improving your relationships. No matter your age, there is something here for you. Now, here is Dr. Brian Stress.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Brian Stress with Family Sanity. We're doing a little bit of a change today with our show. We're actually having a special co-host. Her name is Cynthia Kent. Cynthia is a counselor as well as a chemical abuse expert. She's a mother of three, bilingual, and she's going to help us out today and hopefully in the future as well. Are you there, Cynthia?
I am. Hello.
Hello. So today's topic is depression, and most of us have felt sad or even blue at times, which is quite normal, I think, for a human. However, some individuals suffer from significant depression that interferes with aspects of a person's life. Research suggests that 6 to 10% of Americans will suffer from significant depression in any given year. Individuals ages 40 to 59 are at the highest risk of experiencing significant depression, according to some research. Women more so than men. However, only approximately 29% of individuals suffering from depression seek help. The interesting part about depression, at least one of the interesting aspects, in my opinion, is that the cost of depression to just the U.S. economy related to people not going to work, reduced productivity, complications with depression is pretty much been consistently estimated at approximately $44 billion a year. So depression is something that's very significant, not only within our families, but also within the economy. So right now, there are a variety of depressions, and Cynthia, one as a counselor, you work with people with depression quite frequently?
Yes, that's very frequent diagnosis that we have in the sessions.
Do you think it's the most frequent diagnosis?
Yeah, that and anxiety. And as you know, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, I consider them kissing cousins, per se.
Yeah, right.
If you have depression, you certainly have anxiety, and if you have anxiety, you have some sort of depression.
Right.
So the common diagnoses for depression, one of the most significant or common diagnoses is major depressive disorder. What are some of the symptoms of major depressive disorder, Cynthia?
Feelings of emptiness, hopelessness, sadness, crying spells, fatigue, increased sleep or decreased sleep, increased appetite, decreased in overall functioning.
Right. More often than not, I think with some of the people I work with, they're experiencing significant feelings of helplessness and hopelessness. No matter what they do, they can't seem to get out of their funk. There's also a symptom called anhedonia. Do you want to explain what anhedonia is, please?
It is when you are don't have the motivation to, you don't enjoy the things that you used to enjoy.
Right. So let's say you go to a movie and everybody's laughing. If you're experiencing depression, you may find no humor or fun in the world. Everybody else seems to be entertained. Things of that nature, would that be about?
Yeah, that seems accurate.
That seems accurate. Okay. So approximately 7% of individuals in the United States experience major depressive disorder. Individuals between 18 and 29 are three times more likely to have a major depressive disorder episode when compared to people 60-plus years old. So if you can make it to 60, there's less chance, I guess, that we're going to be depressed. Females are 1.5 to 3 times more likely to experience significant depression than males, which I'm not quite sure what that's about, but do you have any ideas?
I don't know. I can guess. I would say we tend to be, females tend to be more emotional and at times seem, don't know how to manage emotions the proper way, and depression can creep in there as well. So
sure.
That's just a guess. I mean, I don't know.
You're not sure about that one. I think also maybe there's also the premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which is part of the menstrual cycle. According to the research I completed here, 1.8 to 5.8 females may meet criteria for premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Males in general, we may not express our depression, so I wonder if maybe that statistic about more females to males is that possibly females are more likely to seek out some help, whereas males are like, well, we're just going to put our boots on and go do our job and pretend
like
it's not
bothering. And culturally, really, in the United States, for a male to seek help and, you know, and admit that they're depressed is like a big no-no culturally. So women are more likely to come into the counseling setting and ask for help.
Right. I think that's a wonderful comment. Do you want to explain, you have wonderful cultural reference. That's one of the things you and I talk about frequently. Do you want to explain to our listeners why that is?
My cultural background, well, I'm originally from Mexico, and I've lived in both countries for quite a few years. Most of my life now has been here in the United States. But also for the Latino community, for a male to look for, to seek out help, especially depression, because it's viewed as a weakness. You would never admit that you are depressed, nor you would seek help. Usually in the Latino culture, like in other cultures, like Asian cultures, it's dealt within the family. You don't go and seek a stranger for help, especially something so intimate.
Right, right. And you told me that your mother is actually a psychologist in Mexico.
Yes.
And we don't need to really go into it in great depth, but how we define psychology in the States here and how they define it in Mexico, there are some significant differences.
I guess, yeah, but I suppose in schooling, you know, there's some significant differences in there. But, you know, I think primarily we do see the same type of the counseling theories, you know, but just we always have to adjust to the cultural the culture of the person. You know, we can't ignore that they may feel very uncomfortable with certain, you know, addressing certain aspects.
Absolutely. So, and that's what we have to do as professionals in any counseling session or therapy sessions. We have to understand what culture our person is coming from and what their values and morals may be based on a cultural influence. Correct?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So another depressive diagnosis is it's actually dysregulation disorder, which is basically individuals, 2 to 5% of individuals have, they get irritable and depressed and maybe have some significant behavior problems. Believe it or not, males are ahead of females in that category, according to what I read. The other depressive disorders are substance-induced depressive disorders. Basically, if somebody's using some sort of illegal drug, recreational drug, or even prescribed medications, they can it can result in depressive symptoms. It's less than actually one percentile, according to the research, but I don't think there's a lot of research in that area. There's depressive disorder due to another medical condition is another diagnosis in the depressive category. This suggests that individuals have, let's say, cancer, maybe a cardiac issue, anything related to a medical diagnosis, diabetes, that can result in depression. Then there's kind of a catch-all, which is other specified depressive disorders, whereas there's brief periods of depression, 2 to 13 days, where a person doesn't meet the criteria for major depressive, but that they may have 4 symptoms one time a month for 12 months in a row. There's short duration depressive disorder, which is which lasts greater than 4 days but less than 14 days, whereas the person has 8 symptoms of major depressive disorder, and then there's depressive disorder with insufficient symptoms, which is an individual has 1 of 8 symptoms. One of the concerns and one of the things that Cynthia and I talked about before the show is just how frequently people actually attempt to get some sort of assistance related to their depressive symptoms. And that's I had a patient yesterday, whereas she's been clinically depressed roughly over 30 years, and she's never attempted counseling of any sort, nor did she suggest that any professional had suggested that. And Ted Regalia, our pharmacist, who will be with us during the third section, can certainly address